Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track three features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, July 2005. Last month, I discussed how carbohydrate ingestion and its influence on insulin chemistry can be measured and understood with reference to glycemic index, glycemic load, and carbohydrate density. Foods that lead to a slow increase in blood glucose have a low glycemic index. Those that induce a rapid rise in blood sugar have a high glycemic index. The higher your blood sugar level is after eating a certain food, the higher the glycemic index. The glycemic load of a food is calculated by multiplying its glycemic index by its digestible carbohydrate content in grams and dividing by 100. The carbohydrate density of a food refers to the digestible carbohydrates present in any given food. This is calculated by subtracting the fiber portion, which is indigestible, from the total carbohydrate content. On this month's tutorial, I'm going to wrap up my discussion on carbohydrate and insulin chemistry by addressing what I consider to be one of the biggest myths held in nutrition, specifically that the best diet for everyone is a high carbohydrate diet. I don't like using the terms high, medium, or low. Compared to what? I would much rather determine what is ideal for each individual. And the ideal amount of carbohydrate required to service the body from an energy or healthy body composition point of view can vary substantially from one person to the next. It can also vary dramatically in our own lives, depending on changes to our lifestyle and how well our body adapts to increasing age. The principle of biochemical individuality dictates that the amount of food consumed by each person, as well as percentage of fats, carbs, and protein represented by such food, be based first on inherent, essential, functional, and basal metabolic needs, and second, on supply-demand requirements specific to caloric expenditure and the effects of exercise training. The best diet, therefore, is one that conforms with biological specificity to each person's unique needs and requirements, once identified. The diet should conform to the individual and not the other way around. This means that the total calorie intake of food for one person may be dominated by carbohydrates in terms of percentage, but not necessarily for the next. It also means that the same individual can shift the percentage of macronutrients around to accommodate changes in his or her activity, caloric expenditure, or training objectives. Everyone's diet should be custom designed and tailor-made with health and performance in mind. It's easy to just follow the crowd and join hands in the assembly line where everyone eats the same. But if you want to rise above mediocrity, you have to get specific and focus on yourself and your personal biochemical needs. You might be allergic to wheat, intolerant to lentils, or thrive on buffalo meat. Without even knowing it, the journey of self-discovery demands both commitment and flexibility. Carbs taste good and provide energy, but not everyone can tolerate a high-carb diet, and the amount of energy required to run and maintain the body can vary greatly from one person to the next. Carb intake and the types of carbs we eat should conform to each body, just as the shoes we wear conform to the size and shape of our own feet, and not our sisters or brothers, mums or dads, or our best friends. But many of us eat exactly the way we were taught, and food selection is commonly driven by taste instead of science. First, we need to understand the difference between empty, refined carbohydrates and wholesome, nourishing, coarse, fibrous carbs. Broccoli and donuts are essentially high carbohydrate foods, but the effects of each on gastrointestinal health, blood sugar, insulin response, pH, and immune response are not the same. After the issue of form and quality is understood, quantity becomes a functional determination based on biological necessity. Once you clearly understand your basal metabolic needs and how much extra energy you require to sustain your work, sport, training, and athletic demands, personal carbohydrate management and assessment of carb intake should be relatively easy. However, sugar and flour is highly addictive, and because it is very dense, a small portion can influence glucose and insulin panels in the blood in a very negative way. What makes the carbohydrate challenge even greater is the fact that in modernized first world countries, we are literally surrounded by a sea of empty processed carbohydrates that by program and condition and ease of access, we are told are acceptable to eat. Plus, most of us, without our consent as children, were raised on refined carbohydrates. And this is what sets us up for addiction for the rest of our lives. Without exception, when the binge foods of bulimics and food addicts are examined, they are never foods from nature, such as carrot sticks, celery, or sardines. They are always man-made and typically high in sugar and milk fat. They are smooth, feel good going down, and actually provide a drug-like sensation of getting high. But real food from nature doesn't do that. Over time, people can and do develop glucose intolerance from eating refined sugars and bread, even lean athletes, to the point that even a small quantity of carbs may cause inflammation, water retention, an overgrowth of yeast, and immune system failure. Every bodybuilder in the world understands the significance of carbohydrate management before competition. And so should every athlete. But it's not just about getting lean or staying lean. It's about building strength, muscle integrity, metabolic need, neurological health, and recovery. It's also about preventing obesity, vascular disease, cancer, and diabetes. Carbs and fat, and to a lesser degree, protein, fuel the body with ATP, but carbs are not essential to the human biochemical equation. This doesn't mean that they are not important or that they should be completely eliminated. It's just that they don't enter into human composition like amino acids, fatty acids, and minerals. So their significance relates more to movement, function, and energy supply as opposed to structure. Although less than 1% of our makeup does actually include glycoproteins and mucopolysaccharides, which have a glucose or carbohydrate component. In other words, we shouldn't be eating carbs like we're made out of them because we're not. Instead, we should be eating green foods, wild game, and plants loaded with minerals, proteins, and essential fatty acids like we're made out of them because we are. Carbohydrate intolerance is very common among the Western population. But the problem isn't caused by people eating too much spinach, kale, squash, lentils, or wild rice. The problem is connected to the consumption of high glycemic empty junk carbs, which contribute to a progressive decline of insulin sensitivity and damage to insulin receptors in the body. The fat-free frenzy has also misled people into thinking that all fat is bad and that consuming even more carbs as a result is better. Less fat or light, L-I-T-E, generally equates to more room for sugar. Just check the labels on the low-fat foods. They're almost always high in sucrose or glucose fructose or some kind of refined carbohydrate. So the lower the fat, that allows more room for more sugar to be added, and that's what makes the food taste good. And in many cases, the food that's chemically prepared would taste horrible if it wasn't sweetened. Excess sugar in the blood is ultimately converted into fatty acids and triglycerides, which are stuffed into adipocytes. Adipocytes, or also known as fat cells, act as storage containers for energy. All carbohydrates are reduced through digestion into some form of a small basic sugar, such as glucose, lactose, galactose, or fructose. It's difficult to saturate your blood with excess sugar by eating asparagus or broccoli, even if mounds of these carbohydrate plants are eaten. These foods are fiber and water dense and thus are digested relatively slowly. But it's extremely easy to flood your body with excess sugar by eating cakes, cookies, and candy. Refined carbohydrates also rob the body of important minerals and trace elements, weakening the structure and matrix of joints and the vertebrae of the spine. Excess, by the way, is defined as more than the amount of glucose or blood sugar required to fully saturate your glycogen bank and optimize blood sugar levels. It also includes more than what is required to maintain this saturation throughout the body, especially in the liver and muscular system. If you have an extremely slow metabolism and are somewhat sedentary, you do not require the same quantity of energy from fats and carbs as someone with a fast metabolism and who is very active. In other words, you do not need to eat a lot of calorie-dense food or a lot of carbs or both because the metabolic fire that burns within you is relatively small. Your protein requirements, on the other hand, are fixed based on your lean mass and training intensity, as well as your volume of training, and therefore, carb assessment should follow after you have determined how much protein you need in grams per day. As a rough estimate, active females require approximately 3 to 5 grams of carbohydrates per kilogram body weight to maintain glycogen stores. During intense exercise for periods greater than 90 minutes per day, carb requirements may rise to 6 to 8 grams per kilogram for women and 8 to 10 grams per kilogram for men. The more muscle you have, the more fuel they need. The more active you are, the more fuel you'll need. If you cut back and lose muscle or reduce activity, you need to eat less carbs. But carbs taste good. So if you keep eating them in lieu of being inactive or losing muscle, you're going to gain a lot of excess body fat. So it's really easy to lose fat once you understand this concept. Control those carbohydrates coming in because of how they affect our insulin and blood sugar levels. An active woman who weighs 135 pounds or 61 kilograms may require a couple of hundred up to 300 grams of carbs per day, depending on her metabolic rate and physical activity, including both intensity and type of training. But if she wants to lose body fat, she's going to have to cut back on those carbs. This gives her roughly 800 to 1200 calories from the carbs. If 80% of her body mass is lean mass, which is about 49 kilograms, and she combines weight training with cardio 5 days per week, her estimated daily intake of protein is between 75 and 96 grams, which is equivalent to 300 to 400 calories. If she's trying to lose body fat, she shouldn't reduce protein because the amount of protein calculated is based on what she needs to sustain her form and structure. She also needs to obtain some fat because she needs essential fatty acids and fat-soluble vitamins. Protein is the cornerstone, not carbohydrates. Carbs can fluctuate up and down within a much greater range than amino acids. If you're active, eat more carbs. If you're less active, eat less carbs. It's that simple. Always fill up on greens and raw vegetables first, then add some lentils, brown rice, or yams if you need the extra fuel, but only if you need the extra starch for fuel. A small to medium-sized portion of low-fat, high-quality protein should anchor every meal. Pass on the bread and consume more high-water alkaline plants. They will nourish and help correct blood sugar instability, especially if they are backed up with extra chromium, lipoic acid, vitamin C, B-complex vitamins, and so on. Make sure that you focus on supplements if there is any concern about insulin chemistry. When it comes to carbohydrates, we should respect our essential needs and limitations. Refined carbs can destroy our health and rob us of energy. Yet, think of all the healing virtue contained in nature's pharmacy. including the many carbohydrate-rich plants scattered across the earth, known for their health benefits, and the exquisite concentration they have of polyphenols, flavonoids, and carotenoids. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a great quote on possibility from Vince Lombardi, the famous coach of the Green Bay Packers. A man can be as great as he wants to be. If you believe in yourself and have the courage, the determination, the dedication, the competitive drive, and if you are willing to sacrifice the little things in life and pay the price for the things that are worthwhile, it can be done.